We are going to turn to the scriptures that some of us really became somewhat offended by. We heard this so much for so many decades, we were sick of it. And it wasn't even told us the truth. And we were so saddened because it was so emphasized to us, the end times things, that we don't want to hear anymore about it. So I trust as we meditate upon God's Word, we'll want to hear more about it because we're not looking at it under the false, pretentious system we looked at it under so many years ago. And we were force-fed all the charts and all of the extra-biblical nonsense. So it wasn't in the Bible. So we thank God that we come to His Word. We're just going to take His Word as His Word. What God says is enough. So we believe it. We're going to begin in Mark chapter 13 today and verse 14. Mark chapter 13 and verse 14. Let us consider the words of our infallible Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 13, 14. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Emphasize this. Jesus emphasized it. Daniel emphasized it. And then Daniel emphasized it again. Understand this. Don't be deceived. We see the deceiver spoken about before this. We see the deceiver spoken about right after it. So don't be deceived. Then let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom He hath chosen, He hath shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here's Christ, or lo, He is here, He's there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect, if it were possible. But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. Amen. We end our reading there at the close of verse 23. And we trust that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who took these words of Christ and reminded the historians writing the Gospels to write them down, may the Spirit of God breathe upon these words today so that we understand the truth, so that we not be deceived by the many deceivers that are in the world and in the church. Professing church. I was so saddened in checking even some of our brethren's comments on this chapter. Some of our brethren who know and love the doctrines of grace, and we know that in some of the evangelical seminaries that thankfully they learned the doctrines of grace, but they didn't get their dispensationalism expunged from them, but rather it was augmented. And so I was very sad that some of these brethren that love our Lord Jesus Christ, that love the doctrine of grace, don't even see the historical destruction of Jerusalem, which is a historical reality that's spoken of here. Completely ignore it. And think about some thing in the, you know, in the future that they have spun in their minds to think it's actually going to be as they mistakenly think. So sad, so sad. But let's go on with the truth. Jerusalem was the place where the Lord had chosen to place His name there. During the years prior to Israel's entering Canaan, the Lord was often mentioning that place and preparing His people to focus on the blood sacrifice made there. In Daniel chapter 9, it's such an important passage. In Daniel had spent much time in prayer, wanting to know the will of God and seeking God's face about the future. Daniel chapter 9, we'll read a few verses there at the end of the chapter. But the Holy Spirit gave to the prophet Daniel very clear revelation about the coming events in the city of Jerusalem. The city would be rebuilt, because in Daniel's day, it was in ruins from the Babylonians. The city would be rebuilt, he says. He prophesied that. The sanctuary, or the dwelling place of the Most High, the Holy of Holies, would be reconstructed in Jerusalem. Messiah the Prince would come there. He would be anointed, and He would be cut off for His people. He would make reconciliation by making an end of their sins and by bringing in everlasting righteousness. That is our salvation. Let's read there in Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 24. Oh, buddy, did we ever hear this over and over and over again? But it would not say anything about what Jesus did. All they wanted to talk about was the 70 weeks. What about Jesus? Don't forget Jesus. It's terrible. I'm sorry. So they wouldn't tell us. Verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Wow! And to bring in everlasting righteousness. Hallelujah. And to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Yes, Ezra and Nehemiah. Yes, indeed. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Now there it is. Notice those words. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. That is what is referred to by Jesus, the abomination of desolation. Now, the original Hebrew right here is so interesting that it would be the abominations of the armies. Because these Roman soldiers, on their standards, they had, and even on their the tops of their spears, they had the image of Caesar, and they worshiped that. Whether they were around the city, whether they were destroying the temple, whether they were in the Holy of Holies, they had these abominable images of a false god that they worshiped. Even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Desolation, desolate. The abomination of desolation. Okay, you see all this here. Now, very clearly, we read in Daniel that the city and the sanctuary would be destroyed. The sacrifice and the oblation would cease. No more lambs. No more offerings. Hallelujah. There would be war and much desolation. This passage emphasizes destruction, Daniel. The abomination of desolation clearly refers to the pagan armies destroying the temple. The Hebrew in chapter 9, verse 27, is literally with abominable armies. Pagan, heathen, Gentile destroyers, literally. Christ's words, as well as Daniel's, urge careful understanding. Do you notice that? It is so characteristic of the Lord to warn His people well ahead of coming destruction. Daniel's prophecy was 400 years before Christ. Before His words spoken on the Mount of Olives right here. And these words were spoken nearly 40 years before they were fulfilled in 70 AD. This was supernatural revelation of Almighty God in both cases. And not at all coming from mere human wisdom. There are three things that I would set before you in verses 14 to 23. First of all, the tenderness of Christ. The tenderness of Christ. He warns His people. And it was a successful warning. The truth fully conveyed. And then finally, the totality of change that came about. First of all, in verses 14 to 19, we see the tenderness of Christ. He speaks of this. He says in the end of verse 14, "Let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go into the house, neither enter therein to take anything. And let him that's in the field not turn back again to take up his garment. Go to the mountain. And pray that your flight be not in winter. And woe to them that are with child. Be so hard to get away quickly with the newborns." So we see the tenderness of Christ. Although the apostles thought, they still thought, even after this, they got there on the with Jesus in the post-resurrection 40-day ministry and saying, Acts 1:7, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Surely you're going to get on that throne now and get straightened out. Get rid of these Romans." The Lord gave them a totally contrary prophecy. Christ lovingly warned all of His believing people that there was soon coming a day when they must flee from Jerusalem. It would be when Daniel 9:27's abominations made desolate. Both Jesus and Daniel urged careful understanding. Daniel 9:23, listen. In Daniel 9:23, "Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." Listen to Daniel. Daniel 9:25, two verses later. "Know therefore and understand." Jesus said in Mark 13:14, "Let him that readeth understand." Whenever the Roman army, literally abominable pagan armies, Daniel 9:27, when they stand, where it ought not. Mark 13, 14. Where's that? In the Holy of Holies. When they stand there, and they're destroying. They're taking the menorah and everything else. They're tearing everything to bits. Luke 21, 20. When ye see Jerusalem compassed or surrounded with armies, then know that her desolation is at hand. It happened literally. Flee to the mountains. The end of verse 14. Get out of Jerusalem. Verses 15, 16, 17, 18. See the heart of Christ expressed toward expectant nursing mothers. He knew how difficult it would be. It would be especially hard for soon-to-be mothers and those caring for small babies, but they must get away quickly. Verse 18, make it an earnest matter of prayer that your escape be not hindered by inclement weather, because you must get away quickly. Every moment of the escape is precious, much more precious than anything you could go back trying to get any stuff. Well, praise God. Christ's tender warning was heeded by His believing people in 70 AD. They didn't tell me that. I didn't know. I'm so thankful. Numerous historians and Bible scholars reported that the early Christians remembered Christ's words, and they fled before the armies of Rome had enclosed the city of Jerusalem and Judea. They all got away. Spurgeon and many others tell us that the believers with their children escaped to the mountains across the Jordan River to the northeast, and there around the ancient city of Pella, and there in the mountains and caves, they took refuge. And a strong congregation of believers continued in that area long after Jerusalem had been destroyed. Praise God for the warning of Jesus, the obeying of His children, and the preservation from the horrible ruin in Judea of those believers in what's now modern day Jordan. Well, praise God, I'm so glad that our brethren escaped. They got away. We weren't told that. They're too worried about if we're going to be left behind, I guess. So, anyway. Having looked at the tenderness of Christ, second, we see truth fully conveyed by our Lord. It came about exactly as Christ and Daniel had prophesied. Verse 19, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time. Neither shall be. The destruction of the temple, the city, was almost total. There was a little bit of the wall left. But the city was almost, the population was almost totally slaughtered. The Jews slaughtered men, women, and children. It was terrible. Both young and old killed by the Roman soldiers. And why were the Roman soldiers so unmerciful to them? If you were, go back and read in history, there were so many movements of the Jews in those years in the Roman Empire when Roman soldiers would be garrisoned there and the Jews would just slaughter them. So many of the Roman soldiers had been murdered during the decades of military occupation of Palestine. They were getting revenge. That was part of it. But the Jews did not believe what Jesus had said about the coming destruction of Jerusalem. They didn't believe. So in 70 AD, when the Roman armies approached the Jews of Judea, what did they do? They left their villages in Judea and they all rushed inside the impregnable city of Jerusalem for protection. But the over 1 million Jews that were hunkered down in the city were not spared for long. If you remember, there are many gates leading into the walled city of Jerusalem from all directions. And as the vast Roman army simply battered down all the gates, after a while they got those gates battered down and they slaughtered most of the million of the Hebrew people. Spurgeon wrote in his comment on Matthew that what the Jewish leaders and the people had chanted before Christ's crucifixion, it came horribly upon the Jews in 70 AD. For what had they chanted? His blood be on us and on our children. Matthew 27:25. Of those Jews left alive, there were only those that the Roman army deemed useful to sell into slavery. They say there was something like 100,000 out of the million that were made slaves, they think. The truth had been fully conveyed by Christ and by Daniel, but only the church believed and was saved from the horrible ruin. Finally, let us notice the totality of change. Christ had said in verse 7, let's go back up to verse 7, and you, when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. Underline those words. For such things must need be. And again in verse 23, but take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. All the things they needed to know. All the things necessary for life. All the things necessary for godliness. He had prophesied. But why was that total devastation so necessary? It was the end of an era. Messiah had come. He had lived that splendidly immaculate life. He had lovingly healed the multitudes. He had fed them. He had told the truth about all things. He had given eternal salvation to many. He went about doing good, always good and only good. And yet the jealous Jewish leaders envied him. They hated him and they plotted his death. They were the ones that were guilty of Christ's murder and brought down their whole religious system upon themselves and along with themselves. They brought it all down on top of themselves. For such things must needs be, Jesus said. It was time for the Jewish sacrifices and oblations to cease because Messiah had totally fulfilled them. He had replaced the shadows and the sacrifices or we were singing earlier. He had replaced the shadows with the substance, with the vicarious sacrifice of Himself. Christ had made an end of His people's sins. He had made reconciliation for our iniquities. He had brought in everlasting righteousness to freely impute to His believing people. Messiah was indeed cut off, but not for Himself, it was for us. Messiah was cut off for me, for my sin. Can you earnestly and honestly say by faith, it was for me? Can you say Messiah was cut off for me? That is our salvation. Messiah cut off for me. The desolations were determined, Daniel 9:26. And what was determined was poured upon the desolate. again, that we're determined by the sovereign counsel of the eternal Almighty God. What Daniel and the prophets had declared, Christ reiterated. The whole fabric of Old Testament Judaism had to come crashing down. The veil was violently rent when the atonement was accomplished by Christ. So all the rest of the ceremonial law had to end. It was determined. It had been decreed by Almighty God. As horrible as it was, judgment had to fall upon those that never got over their hatred for our Lord Jesus Christ. Those poor Jews obstinately refused to believe Christ, even in His warning about the coming destruction of them, of their city, and of their temple. This is one of the reasons that I believe most firmly that the Hebrew temple will never be rebuilt, nor will the sacrifices begin again. It would be useless. It would be redundant. It would be an open mockery of the one sacrifice for sin forever made by our Lord Jesus Christ. Another lesson that we draw from these verses is the honorable nature of fleeing. Fleeing the danger when it is impossible to otherwise avoid death or slavery. Fleeing is a biblical and honorable means of delivering ourselves. The sixth commandment teaches us that. The sixth commandment teaches us to preserve our own life and the life of others, the lives of others as well. Praise God that the believers in the early church at Jerusalem in Judea obeyed Christ's command. And they fled to Perea. And a strong Christian church remained there for many, many years after. Praise the Lord for His special care for His elect people. His elect people are special to Him. You read it over here, verse after verse, about the elect, verse 20. And yeah, you see it there, verse 20. And then again in verse 22. God cares for His elect people, not to leave them to be deceived. God cares for His blood-bought people. He protects His people from false prophets. Let us always remember that the whole Old Testament system of ceremonies had to end abruptly. And why did it have to end violently? Because our Savior had suffered a violent death in order to redeem us from our own lost condition. Finally, we see in the awful destruction of Jerusalem a picture of what's to come in the rest of the chapter. A picture of the troubles and ruin that will come upon the whole world of the ungodly at the appointed hour. Revelation chapter 3 verse 10 tells us that an hour is coming that will try, will prove, will test all those that dwell upon the earth. And let me assure you today, the only place of sure and certain refuge and safety is to have your life hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. Is your life hid with Christ in God? It's a matter of faith, saving faith. Let us pray together. Oh God, we thank Thee that Thou hast not in Thy holy word given us cunningly devised fables or myths, but Thou hast given us the absolute historical truth of those things that came about in history just as they were prophesied. And Lord, we know that the rest of them, all those things prophesied, will be exactly as Thou said. So Lord, Help us then to take heed to the words of Daniel in Christ, that we would carefully understand thy word, that thy word is what we need to know, rather than all of the excitement of the world about the apocalypse, O God. Teach us thy way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.